Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
This is Devin Nunes. Welcome back to this week's podcast. I'm happy to have back on Dr. Holtz Eakin, who we talked recently about trade, specifically the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Dr. Holtz Eakin is with the American Action Forum. He's been a longtime economist, worked in the George W. Bush administration, the George H. Bush administration, and has worked with Congress for many, many years. And Doug, you were absolutely instrumental in helping us pass tax reform. And one of the things that I think are lost on people is that for many years, people said, well, tax cuts, they only help the rich because for the most part, poor people, they don't pay taxes. And the middle class, you know, their taxes, you know, didn't change at all. And that's kind of a easy thing that the left uses to say that Republicans are only for the rich. But I would say that unlike what you saw in the George W. Bush administration, unlike what you saw during Ronald Reagan's days when you saw some dramatic tax cuts, this was so much different because we actually blew apart the tax code. We got the government for the most part. We're still a little bit more work to do, but this was a big thing to me, was to get the government out of deciding how long something's going to last in the economy. So, you know, it used to be if you went and bought some office furniture, the government decided, well, that piece of furniture, that depreciates over 10 years. This one's over 25 years. This building's 15 years. This piece of equipment's 5 years. I mean, it was all over the map. There was no meaning to it. And I think it made for major distortions in the marketplace. And, you know, I know that that's, you know, really geeky tax talk, but this is really important. It's changed this world, the global economy for the better. It's changed. You know, we're having jobs go overseas. Corporations were saying, look, if you're not going to fix your tax system here, we're just going to locate our headquarters overseas. And to the average Joe out there, they're like, well, I don't care. I don't work for that corporation. But what they don't see is that having those jobs, having that money, having that roll through the economy here, it's made such a big difference. So I think that we fundamentally have changed the trajectory of the economy. And, you know, obviously there's always these pitfalls. There's always these black swans with, you know, just recently with the coronavirus. I mean, this is always things that can come up. But what I see is just long-term stability in the economy. And the president and the Republicans have yet to get any credit for this. That's partly why I do this podcast, is to make sure people understand, why did we do this? Why, when you hear out there, because I'm sure you get this all the time, well, this only benefits the rich. How do you answer that?
Well, I think people really do misunderstand the motivation for this. The starting point for the 2017 tax bill is really the taxation of businesses in the United States. That was the key. And it matters to average people because that's where they go to work. And if they go to work in a firm that is at a disadvantage because of the tax code, they're at a disadvantage and they're not going to get the wages they want. They're not going to be as successful as they'd like. So again, unlike the way it's characterized, the starting point was businesses, not individuals, and it was bipartisan. There was a recognition back before 2016 by both Republicans and Democrats that U.S. businesses were at a tax disadvantage trying to compete in the global economy. We had the highest tax rate in the developed world, 35%, and we were the only country clinging to the idea that we should tax our firms on the basis of what they earned all over the globe. Every other country had gone to saying, okay, whatever you make in Germany, Germans will tax. Whatever you make in Brazil, Brazilians will tax. Us, when we competed with a German firm in Brazil, we paid the Brazilian tax. German firm paid the Brazilian tax. They were done. We weren't done. Still had to come back and pay the highest tax rate in the world in the U.S., 35%. Immediate disadvantage. So what do our firms do? Well, they only paid that second tax when they brought the money back, so they stopped bringing the money back.
Right. So there was
– so now it's all parked overseas.
Hundreds of millions.
Trillions.
Trillions.
Literally trillions parked overseas.
Overseas.
And then as you mentioned – anytime there was a merger between a British firm and a U.S. firm, they'd take a look at the books and think, where do we want to be? Not in the United States. Forget it. And we lost headquarter after headquarter. You heard this endless drumbeat of Benedict Arnold firms leaving the U.S. Since the 2017 Act passed, one firm has changed its headquarters. It was in January of 2018. It was already underway when it passed. We fixed it. We fixed it completely and the money came back, almost $1.5 trillion so far. It's going to keep coming back. So there was a big problem. Everything was going overseas. And the whole point was to stop that. And building on work that you did years ago, and I want to acknowledge that right now, we got a business tax code that is internationally competitive. That was absolutely essential.
And that's kind of the one big component. It's really led to it's impacted directly and immediately money coming back, jobs not leaving, companies not leaving. But also there's the other component that I alluded to in the opening, and that really is to this moving to a system that's called full expensing, and I don't want to bore the hell out of all the listeners out there. But what it means is that you're not – the government's not deciding how long that you're going to get to expense something. So if you go out and buy a new piece of equipment previously, you may be only expense that over 5 years, and it was really distorting the market. Now if you decide you want to go buy a new piece of equipment, $1 million, $500, thousands of dollars, that small business writes that off in that – first year. It's a direct look at actually what's happening in the marketplace.
It's really important. And, you know, as I said, we wanted people to invest in the U.S., not send this stuff elsewhere. But how you invest in the U.S. matters a lot. And that's what this provision does. So now if you're a businessman, you want to make your business stronger, you could hire a smart person. If you did that, you get to deduct their wages. You could buy a piece of equipment, or you could build a new building. And now you get to deduct the cost of the equipment or the cost of the building. The tax code is neutral. It's not deciding what you should do. It's allowing you to deduct whatever you decide is best for your business. And that's an important thing because you don't want taxes driving this.
And I want to make sure that I'm just going to be repetitive here, but I think that is a very good way to think about it for the listeners out there. You now can make a decision not on the tax code, because people were deciding, well, I've got this much money that I can spend this year. Well, the easiest thing for me to go do is I'm going to go ahead and buy this piece of equipment, even though it may not be the actual piece of equipment that you wanted, or you may be forced to lease that piece of equipment. Right. Maybe the better thing for you to have done was to remodel your facility so that, you know, it could become more efficient or a better place for people to work. And those decisions were becoming, I think, severely distorted because you had people in Washington, D.C. in the swamp deciding what best people should put their money into versus letting everything, I think you described right, be neutral.
And we were employing some of America's smartest people to do nothing but move numbers around for purposes of keeping the tax bill down in that old system. Literally, put them out of business. They can go cure cancer or something. That'd be a better use of their talents.
Yeah, and I think what you see now is you do see a lot of accountants. I think it's almost reinvigorated a lot of accountants that are out there because they get to spend their time instead of figuring out ways – okay, how do I make sure that my client doesn't pay any taxes? We got to figure out these complicated tax shelters. Now they get to decide, wait a second, maybe there's another small business that we can invest into. And that's, I think, the advantage is if you're willing to be a risk taker now and start your own business, you can really reduce your tax burden. And that wasn't available before too. It made it so much easier now for somebody who has a dream, who has an invention to start that business. And not only to start it because of the advantages that they get, they can invest into their own business, but it's also easier for them to get investors to invest into whatever idea that they have because of this provision of full expensing of whatever it is you want to buy and invest in.
And on top of that, we did in fact lower the individual rates. And that matters for this person who's starting the business because people don't start businesses and issue hundreds of thousands of shares of stock. They start it up and it's them, or it's them and a partner. And it's that income is always taxed on the individual income tax, subject to those individual income tax rates. We lowered the taxation of more than half of business income when we cut the individual rates. That was really important.
And so I think we've covered two big components of this, of the tax bill. And it's really why we have this now growing economy that we haven't seen in decades, really. It's the best economy in 50 years.
We were growing at 1.3% a year in the second quarter of 2016. That hit a high of 3.2% in 2018. It's tapered off a little recently, but I'm hopeful we'll rebound in 2020.
And it continues to grow. But this is why – so when my daughters, they listen to the podcast and, you know, a lot of times this is in their 7, 10, and 12. And so how does it affect them? Right? How does it affect somebody that's out there that's just a young person out there, or somebody's like, well, look, I'm a teacher. I'm a fireman. I work for a big corporation. And then people say that this really didn't impact me. But the truth is that a growing economy does impact you, and it does impact everybody from children all the way to the person that's working an hourly worker out there, which, you know, we have millions of Americans that just work by the hour. They go home, they take their kids to soccer practice and Little League, and they watch football on Sunday. How would you describe it to them? Why is this so important to them?
Growth is essential. From the end of World War II to 2007, the economy grew fast enough that the standard of living doubled every 35 years, roughly one working career. See the standard of living double? That was everyone's access to the American dream. That's how people sent kids to college, bought vacation homes, whatever it might be.
Or in my kids' case, it's how they get an iPad or
– And they were born into and are growing up – were growing up in an economy where the standard of living was going to double every 75 years. And access to the American dream was disappearing over the horizon. We had to reverse that, and we made important steps to do that. That's the best thing we can do for those kids.
And it doesn't mean they're going to get a new iPad, just so you know they're listening. So, Doug, you're
get
not
– Get the iPad. Go for the iPad.
You're not going to buy them one either. So what do you see looking out into the future here over the rest of 2020? I assume you remain optimistic about the economy and economic growth.
It's been an enormously resilient economy. Unemployment's at 3.5% or thereabouts. And I don't see a reason for us to have a lot of gloom and doom and talk of recessions and things like that. That's not in the cards. The question is, how fast can we grow? And if we put our minds to it, we can grow much faster.
Dr. Holtz-Egan, thank you so much for taking very complicated issues and making them easy to understand for our listeners. I want to thank you for being here again.
Thank you.
And how do they get a hold of you?
AmericanActionForum.org. Go to our website. They got a contact button and send me an email.
Thanks again, Doug. We really appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
This is Devin Nunes. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
To save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we the people free and strong
by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.